We head into the happy hour. Quinn and Chris, Scraby, 97.3 The Fan, also on YouTube. Search 97.3 The Fan. You can watch the program. We kick off the final hour with something that I am dying to get to here. What if I could tell you?
The Big Five?
Oh, don't be interrupting me. I know we have a couple of Big Five things, but that's going to have to wait. What if I told you that we all now know that Patrick Mahomes knew that the 49ers were making a grave mistake on the overtime coin flip, and he knew it the minute it happened?
Yeah.
Now, we have come across video that confirms this, and I told Scraby during the break, I said, oh, we got to play this. This is interesting stuff. Scraby goes, absolutely not.
People are sick of the Super Bowl talk, okay?
He says, people are sick of the Super Bowl. He goes, oh, the Super Bowl happened 4 days ago. We didn't want to hear about it. But this is, Tony's got it on his phone. And since you're not going to play it, we're going to have to play it without you.
We're going to play it on a mic. And I want to also point out that the whole idea that the Niners were on the field like naked, like they didn't know the rules.
I don't know that we ever said that.
We didn't, but that's how it's been portrayed. Like they went out on the field.
Isn't that a media problem, not a player problem?
I'm saying, well, okay, well, if it's a media problem, we're going to fix this media problem when we play this clip right here. And for those who are watching on YouTube, I am going to put my phone on this mic because that's the only way we're going to be able to listen to it. So,
well, people are tired of Super Bowl.
Here we go.
That's Kyle Shanahan talking to Fred Warner.
What is your call?
Tails again.
He called tails again. It is tails. You want the ball? It's great when it's
going to kick that way.
San Francisco receive first overtime. Good luck, gentlemen.
They want it. They want the ball. They want it. And they want it. They want it, baby. We want them to have the ball.
All right, so let's recap everything that happened there. You heard at the very beginning, Mahomes was talking to Andy Reid saying, it's their coin flip, which way do you want to kick? Then you heard Kyle Shanahan say to Fred we
Fred
want
Warner.
The ball, being Fred Warner, who called the coin toss. Then we heard the coin toss. The rest of it was Patrick Mahomes running off the field going, they want the ball. They want the ball. Guys, they want the ball. He said it like five times, and he finally said they want it, they can have it.
And Scraby, before I mess up the
one last thing, sorry, Tony. The final thing was you're sick, or somebody on the 49ers sideline saying, hey, even if they score a touchdown, the game's not over. So the 49ers clearly knew the rules.
Right. That was the most important part, because whether it's a media problem or 49ers, and Scraby's probably right, the media has kind of portrayed it as if the Niners went out there and
not having a clue what was going on.
What was happening. They executed exactly what the coach wanted. And if they didn't know that the overtime rules, they knew it before they took the field. So
yes, they did.
I thought that was important because
it's a fugazi out there that the 49ers were just running around blindly with absolutely no clue. But I find it pretty interesting that Patrick Mahomes was, I don't know if I'm going to say savvy enough, because at the time that Kyle Shanahan took the ball, I personally thought that's what I would have done.
Yep.
But Patrick Mahomes, he knew immediately that was not the right thing to do. And he made it pretty clear as he was running off the field that he was really happy. They took the ball.
And to me, he was kind of surprised.
Yeah, he couldn't believe
it. And to me, I think that also proves a point that they would have gone for two. Why else would you be that giddy about
it? I believe
them.
I believe them that they're going to go for two. But let's just talk about it all works out for them. And this all would never come out if the 49ers end up winning the game.
Yes, it would have. This is, you know where I got that from?
Inside the NFL?
Exactly. So they're going to play that?
No, yeah, of course they're going to play that. They're not going to be like, if the Chiefs lost, they're not going to play Patrick Mahomes being excited that they got the ball.
You know what they would have played it. You know what they would have played? They would have looked different. Kyle Shanahan said, yeah, we want the ball. He looks like a genius if they end up winning that game. But they didn't.
The whole thing with the Chiefs going for two, number one, I think that would have been one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in sports.
It would have been great theater.
Number two, like, it's great that they were going to go for two, but we're all assuming they're going to get, they're going to convert the two-point conversion, it's and it's not that
after
easy.
After watching them score the last play of the game, it's pretty easy to get to.
I bet you they will cover the flats in the two-point conversion.
I bet you they wouldn't.
The bottom line of all of this is the fact that we are on your side, Scraby, in terms of when Kyle Shanahan said he wanted the ball, my first thought was I agreed with him. But in the time since that happened, not necessarily even the way the game played out, but just that in the time since that happened, the strategy, now that we've all thought it through, seems to indicate that that was the wrong decision. And I'm saying I was wrong too, because I thought he made the right decision.
Did, but
I
tell me, but
so
tell
you're
me
getting
why.
Defensive for no,
no,
reason
no, no,
over
no,
there.
No, no,
yes,
tell, but
are.
But honestly, tell me why. Tell me why putting the entire season on a two-point conversion is the right call. Because, again, they could have lost the game, and then it's like, well, they should have taken the ball first.
No,
maybe
because the two-point conversion is a 50-50 proposition. Tying the game and giving the third possession to the other team in a sudden death situation is much less than 50% that they're going to go down and kick a field goal. So that's why going for two makes sense as the second team.
Right.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that.
Well, then what are you arguing?
Because they could still go for two if they got the ball first.
Yeah, but...
All right, you can't push your mic away because you still got two more questions to ask.
He just slammed the microphone.
Sorry.
That was not a mic drop statement right there.
That was a mic
push. By the
way,
everyone, they brought this back up. It was not me.
It was
fun. I'm taking a lot of heat for how much I talk about the 49ers. And
we're not even talking about the 49ers.
We're just talking
about
the strategy.
Football strategy right now.
That's it.
That's all.
Let's get us back to the Big Five, man.
Get back to the Big Five now.
Don't even get me started about what Brittany Mahomes
tested out. Get us to your stage.
I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
He's so right.
Number two.
All right. I don't even want to look at the chat right now. Someone
said
it
was
incredibly stupid they took the ball.
Real quick.
It's incredibly stupid because they lost the game.
Real quick. That sound was very good in your phone. So
what?
From now, yeah. So
we
from
just
now
play
on,
straight off the
from
phone.
Now on, just stop waiting around for Scraby. Just we're gonna play stuff off your phone.
Scraby, get off the chat.
No, Anthony has a great point. Anthony has a great point. Are there sources or stats on if 2-point conversion is really 50-50?
Yes, it is. The stats say it's about 50-50, maybe 49.8.
That's not 50-50.
49.8 actually is
not
50.
I'm actually going to go look this up because
ahead,
Chris had that number too readily
two
available.
Questions. You want another carryover of the Big Five?
You guys did this!
Let's go! Get off of it! Let's go!
So the pairing of Stephen A. Smith and Chris Mad Dog Russo is pretty successful in January. I don't think these two guys fight like we fight sometimes.
They don't.
Yeah.
It's a lot more and good fun for them.
Yeah, it's actually real for us. In January, First Take had its most watched month in the 16-year history of the show. Didn't know that show was on for 16 years, but they averaged 680,000 viewers. That was up 21% from last January. When Mad Dog Russo started appearing on First Take in early 2022, Russo admitted to Howard Stern that ESPN was paying him $10,000 per show over 40 weeks.
Only Howard Stern can get somebody to admit that, too, by the way.
No kidding.
But
everybody feels like Howard Stern is the one place to bare your soul.
he really
tell
is.
Tell him whatever.
So what ESPN did instead is they have extended Mad Dog Russo. They're not giving any details on this, but it's safe to assume he's going to be getting a raise. Chris made Mad Dog relevant for so long.
The same thing that makes you relevant. He says crazy stuff, and he says it with a bunch of energy.
Great.
Do you think he believes all of his crazy stuff?
Not to the extent that he presents it.
Okay.
I think he believes the side he takes, but I think he presents it in a fashion that is, quite a bit showmanship. But I like it. Most people do.
Do you think I believe all the crazy things I say?
90%
no,
of it.
But it's,
90% 9 out of 10.
Yes.
Okay. Tony, what has made Mad Dog relevant for so long?
I'm not sure, honestly. I didn't come into Mad Dog, if I'm being honest, until he was on High Heat Baseball. And then the 30 for 30 came out there shortly after, and then I learned that he has kind of been in this game doing well for a long period of time. And I wasn't sure how this pairing was going to work with him and Stephen A., but I think in some ways, Stephen A. has kind of lightened him up a little bit. He's a much more fun character than on First Take than he is on High Heat, where I just think of him yelling all the time. And don't get me wrong, he yells on First Take, but it's in a fun way that's different.
Yeah, it's like a fun debate.
Yeah, it's like a fun maniac sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like yelling, but he's got kind of a smirk on his face, which is different than High Heat. But in terms of his longevity, I mean, clearly he knows how to entertain. He knows how to push buttons, right?
He does.
But he doesn't come off like a, you know,
arrogant jerk.
I was going to use a different word, but yeah.
What were you going to use?
Something I
like a know-it-all?
Like an a-hole.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, there it is.
He doesn't come off like that. He comes off like he's got some fun to him, even though he's, you know, older.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Whoops. Dustin Johnson is now with Liv, and he just got done beating Peter Uihlein and Taylor Gooch.
I know who Gooch is. I don't know who
Peter Uihlein
is.
Yeah, he's been around. I don't even know if he's won a tournament, but he plays for Liv.
Oh, okay.
And so Dustin Johnson won the actual tournament at Liv Las Vegas. And even though he won, he actually fell to number 231 in the world golf rankings because Liv players aren't awarded ranking points. But Johnson isn't worried because he has his spot in the Masters. And he said to everyone, not to everyone, but he said that he's just focused on the Masters, and that's all he wants to do is win the Masters this year, so the field better watch out. Tony, is the world golf ranking a sham to you now?
I don't know that it's a sham, but it can't necessarily be accurate, as much as I hate to say this,
yeah,
without the likes of a Dustin Johnson. Eventually, Jon Rahm is going to start trickling his way out.
Yeah.
You can't tell me he's not one of the best golfers in the world.
No, he is.
So, I mean, I guess to answer your question, it kind of has to be a sham. I get why they're doing it. You know, Liv is not sanctioned in terms of these points that they hand out. But, you know, the question in itself, is it a sham? Right now, you have to say yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
World golf rankings don't mean a thing to me or to anybody else other than maybe Scottie Scheffler, because he's at the top of those rankings. Anything that has Ludvig Åberg rated ahead of Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. I mean, who's Ludvig Åberg? I don't know. He's the 11th ranked golfer in the world. Scrape? I don't know if you knew that, Scrape.
Ludwig van Beethoven's long-lost nephew.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
And my point is
no.
None of us care about these rankings. We care about, you know, the names of the people we're familiar with. And, you know, as long as the Liv and the PGA, all those guys are split up, golf's going to have an issue that needs to be fixed.
That is true. All right. That's it for the Big Five.
Very all good. Right. That Big Five.
I'm really excited that we found out how your phone works so well on the... Because I get tired of asking Scraby to, you know, look up stuff and record stuff, and he gets mad. He doesn't want to do it.
You know what? Now,
we just can bypass Scraby altogether.
Scraby,
it's fantastic.
Scraby hates when I send him, like, Instagram stuff.
Instagram's the worst platform to play audio from.
It's hard to get the audio. So now he can just say, no, you know what? Just keep it on your phone.
We can't do that. It has to go through the board. I was taking a stand against you playing that because I saw it earlier and I'm so tired of everybody saying the Chiefs are genius, and I know I look like a hater.
You don't look like a hater. You are being a hater right now.
Chris, Mike says on the chat, Poinsettia Dog Park in Carlsbad has both a large dog and separate small dog area. I think you should come up, and Lucky and Kylie would go to the park together.
It does. I go to that park quite often.
That's nice.
The one in Carlsbad?
Yes.
Could move Carlsbad a little closer to where I live. That'd be helpful.
I was just thinking, Tony doesn't live anywhere near Carlsbad.
I sure don't.
Yeah, okay. Fun. Well, it must be a great
Mike,
dog park.
That's nice to know, though, because we've not taken our dog to a dog park for 10 years because of that issue. And now maybe we can take her to one.
Let me ask you this question. Is Kylie, is she friendly with the other dogs? Does she play with the other dogs, or is she kind of keep to herself?
She pays them no attention.
Okay. Well, then maybe she doesn't miss it.
I have a confession to make. My oldest dog, actually, we don't take him to the dog park. He's not a dog type of person. He's a dog human type person. Like, he is much more predictable with humans in a way than he is with other dogs. So when other dogs get around, he is like turns into an actual guard dog.
You know, I have a really good dog human relationship, yeah. But I have a terrible human relationship.
Yes, you do.
So.
You don't like humans very much.
No, that's why me and Lucky and I just hang out.
Me and Lucky.
By the way, Caitlin Clark has not only already broken the record for most points in a career, she's put in 18 points in the first quarter.
Oh, wow.
Tonight.
Okay, so her over-under.
That 36
that
is looking nice right now.
Quaking right now. Now she's up to 21, still in the first quarter.
Wow.
We got to get that game on. She might go for 100 tonight. Crazy.
She's dropping from the logo, apparently.
Apparently again, yep. All right, we got a break. Coming on back, we got our interview of the day. We got more Gwen and Chris. Stick around. The happy hour continues.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the 30-mile zone. 5:23 on the clock. What happened? You guys are laughing.
Because we were just talking about while you're out of the room, and we felt like there wasn't enough time to do it with our replay. And you sat down before I could say anything.
Dang it.
I have a few stories we could talk about for sure.
We only got like 6 minutes to kill.
All right, let's do it. I'm not going to play the open because I don't have it ready, but...
Oh, okay.
Fine. I will play the open.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30-mile zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan...
All right.
Caitlin Clark still rocking the Bruce Lee Kobe Bryant's.
Oh, you were looking at her shoes.
Of course I was.
Wait, Kobe has Bruce Lee shoes?
He was a big fan of Bruce Lee, so every year he made a Bruce Lee version of whatever his new shoe was.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the 30-mile zone is the official name for TMZ. And so we just kind of go through some celebrity sports gossip. We also talk about stories in sports that we normally wouldn't talk about. But have you heard what happened with P.J. Tucker, guys?
Yeah, P.J.'s not very happy with the Clippers right now.
No, no. He plays for the Lakers.
No,
Sorry, he plays for the Clippers. And he was fined $75,000 for publicly saying he wanted to be traded earlier this month. He said, I want to be somewhere where I'm needed, wanted, and can do it all. And he also said to reporters that he was thinking about packing up his shoes so that he can get up out of there. But yeah. $75,000, I didn't know you couldn't ask for a trade publicly.
Well, yeah, well, this is why agents do it generally, because they can't find the agents. You know, usually it's Rich Paul or somebody saying, my client wants to be traded.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, because $75,000 later, PJ Tucker is like, dang, I should have had my agent do this. But it speaks to the amount of frustration he's having right now, because I believe they sent him home before the All-Star break started. And he was expecting to be traded at the deadline. When that didn't happen, that's when the fine came on top of it. So,
wait, hold on. There we go. Sorry.
He hasn't played. I don't know. Hey. Never mind. Whatever I had to say wasn't that important.
No, go for it. I'm sorry.
I mean, the time's gone.
He hasn't played in how many games?
Since November 27th.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
All right. Good that stuff, guys.
Good. Nah, you're the one that...
You know, now, here's
no,
one.
I did it. I'm sorry. I got you guys in this little kerfuffle.
It's okay. Here's one that I really... This is the spirit of the 30-mile zone. Did you guys know that Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan
broke up?
They broke up, but they are back together.
Oh.
They were seen enjoying a nice Valentine's Day dinner out in Miami.
Could be a rebound. Could be a rebound
of
date.
Themselves.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah,
you have a brief return after a breakup, then you really know
that it doesn't work at that point.
I'm just saying it could be. Maybe
I'm not
really
gonna lie. There was a piece of me that was like, you know, I'm sad that they're not happy anymore, but maybe Michael and Scotty can, like, patch it up.
Yeah. Now. It doesn't seem like the best connection.
It's going to be hard to patch it up as long as his son is dating his ex-wife.
Yeah.
So there was that hope. So, you know. But if those two are happy, I tell you what. My wife watches Housewives of, I believe that's in Miami.
You believe you're right. I don't want to admit to that, but I mean, it's on in my household so often.
It's on every day in my household. One of them Housewives shows is on. And I will say, Marcus Jordan, good young man.
Seemed like a very nice young man.
He's well put together, well spoken. He
takes I don't know what he's doing with her. She seems like a loon to me. What do I know?
That's a fact.
Well, she married Scottie Pippen, and he's kind of a loon, isn't he?
But yeah, man, I hope they're happy.
You are such a different person than me, because the first thing I thought when I saw this story was karma. Karma. It's just a weird couple to begin with.
It is.
A bad story out of LSU football. LSU running back Trey Hawley, who played in 3 games for them last year, was arrested today in Louisiana and booked on several felony charges, including attempted second-degree murder. The sheriff said Hawley turned himself into authorities with his attorney around noon, and in addition to the attempted murder charge, he was also booked for felony aggravated criminal damage to property and felony illegal use of a weapon. The sheriff said the incident took place at an apartment complex following a disturbance at a previous location and left 2 people, one male and one female, hospitalized. So Hawley is now being held on $512,000 bond, and LSU said in a statement shortly after, they are aware that a student athlete has been arrested in relation to a shooting in Union Parish. So there you go. Not good stuff there. Not good. No comments. Okay.
No. Nothing for that.
Okay. There are some pretty incredible stories coming out of the parade yesterday.
Yes.
And so TMZ has these if you would like to go and see some of them. But the guy, one of the guys who tackled the shooter said that he basically had no second thoughts about running after this guy. Another guy said that one of the gunmen was firing in a circle around himself. So there were lots of crazy things. But what I'm bringing is that this guy put his life on the line, along with several other people, to chase down this person with the gun and tackle them. And as they tackled him, a big gun, he said, fell out of the person, you know, pocket or jacket or whatever. And he said he just feels for everybody, and he said he would have done it again if he had to. So that's a hero right there.
Yeah, there were a lot of them yesterday at that event, including some of the Chiefs. I think Andy Reid, I saw a young man talking about his experience. He seemed shaken, but he said Andy Reid there was the whole time, had his arm around him, was kind of keeping him positive before he had to leave to go check on other people. It's amazing when you get into those situations, the good in people tend to show up.
Yeah, I give Jackson Mahomes a really hard time. It's just Patrick Mahomes' little brother. I give him a really hard time. But I will say I read some stuff yesterday about him trying to help a little kid find his parents. So, you know what? You're a good person if you're going to help a little kid find their parents in the midst of all of that. So I will say the good, but I will also say the bad.
Did DJ Khaled play himself this week?
Yes, he did, because he got pulled over in a golf cart.
Driving a little golf cart.
You live in Florida, man. That's a
Miami. That's a Miami staple.
That's what I thought.
You got to drive around in your golf cart.
Do you think he told the police, "Hey, congratulations, you played yourself"?
Yeah. He
This is DJ Khaled.
They would have let him go if he would have said
DJ Khaled.
We're the best. Isn't that what he says every single time? We're the best. All right. That's it for a very abridged version.
Whatever happened to you? Didn't you get a golf cart once for as a gift?
Oh, when I was a little, when I was a kid.
What did you do with it?
We drove them bad boys until the wheels fell off. I credit my pops and those golf carts for my driving skills getting to a peak early. Like I was comfortable behind the wheel because of those golf carts.
I did not realize you were going to go in that direction, you were like the kid from Blank Check. Remember that kid who, it was a Disney movie?
I vaguely remember.
Where he wrote like a check for $1 million and they gave him $1 million and he bought like this mansion. And then it was weird because the police officer who was undercover and also over the age of 18 was dating a kid that was 13. So that was kind of strange, but
I don't remember this.
Don't remember that? No. Okay. All right.
Let's get to break.
There you go.
When we return, you'll get to hear Sean Lewis San Diego State's football coach, joined us earlier.
Get ready to run through something and knock somebody down.
Be ready to want to pancake someone in your household when it's all said.
That's right.
More Gwynn and Chris on the way.
Congratulations again to Caitlin Clark, the Iowa sharpshooter. Is the all-time leading scorer in NCAA women's college basketball history. She surpassed the 8 points needed tonight, and she's still going rather strong, Tony. She's got 28 in the first half as Iowa is ahead of Michigan.
Yeah, that 36 doesn't look like it's going to last very long.
Right, our over-under from earlier in the program. 26. She's got 8 assists, too, just for good shape. Having quite the game. All right. And it's fantastic because we have a women's basketball game on here in the studio, which is something that wouldn't have happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So she's really helping the sport blossom. And that's good news for everybody. Other news today before we get to our interview of the day. Pretty quiet, really. You know. In fact, that's what else that happened. I'm trying to come up with something. Was there really Rob Manfred will retire? That's going to perk up your ears until I tell you that he's not retiring until 2029. So yeah. You got to wait 5 more years.
It'll be a while.
Yeah.
You going to put your name in the hat, Tony, for commish?
Absolutely not.
Why?
Why would I want that job? I
don't. Sounds like kind of a fun job.
I mean, you get paid a lot of money. That's where
could
it
you
starts.
Imagine those 30 people, among them Dick Monfort, trying to tell you what to do?
Good point.
I'd be a turncoat, though. I'd be like moving.
No, but you would be the bridge between the front office and the players.
That's not how it works, dog. That's not how it works.
You come in.
Once I take over as commissioner, I am now working for the owners.
Yeah, and you'd have trouble ever ruling against the players.
You can play. I already know that. You can play disruptor. You can mess everything up.
Yeah, I don't want to be a disruptor.
All right.
ESPN Plus, I paid for this, listed its most intriguing player for every baseball team this year.
Wow.
I'm not exactly sure what intriguing player means, but they chose for the Padres Yuki Matsui. So
I saw him
for what
on
that's
the,
worth.
I saw him predicted to be on the all rookie team this
year.
Well,
that would be a nice thing. It'd be nice to have Go right alongside of him.
Heck yes.
On the all rookie team and Jackson Merrill too.
Heck
Why
yes.
not? Let's have them all.
I like Jackson Merrill, man. I think he's got a chance to
a lot of
this
people
squad.
Think he's going to be the starting left fielder.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, man.
Or center fielder even.
He just has there's
the
just something
far and left.
There's something about him. Like it's not It doesn't like jump off the page like it did for Fernando, but it just seems like he's going to be a solid ball player.
Well, if you're a Padre fan out there, that would be something you would definitely be hoping for.
Yeah,
because that would solve a lot of issues. Sean Lewis has come in and taken the San Diego State football program by storm. He will debut on the field with his Aztecs come late August, but he debuted on Gwynn and Chris. Joining us for the first time earlier today, and I think if you like him the way we like him, that's all good thing. Here's traffic before you hear from Sean Lewis.
We are being joined by San Diego State head football coach Sean Lewis. This is a big get for us. Sean, thank you for coming on today. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. Appreciate the opportunity for jumping on with you guys.
First, before we get into any football stuff, I have to ask you, now that I found out that you're going to be in the softball game that I will be a head coach of, Do you hit lefty? Do you hit righty? Where are we at?
I'm a righty, and my strike zone is probably way too big.
That's all right. That's the beauty of softball is you can have a bigger strike zone and have a ton of success.
If you get Tony as your manager, you're going to have a big leaguer to help you work on your swing. So you'll be.
I need all the help I can get, guys.
Well, Coach, listen, we'll take care of you when we get to that point. But let's talk about this football team and this upcoming year. The city is seemingly a buzz right now since you've arrived. You've already been able to bring some great talent alongside to join this team. Just talk about your expectations for this program moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about it yesterday as a team, and, you know, we've been building this culture. And for me, it's about constant improvement and constant competition, right? We need to do a great job, and the staff has done a tremendous job of building the competitive maturity of our team, the competitive depth of our roster. And right now, the guys have been working really, really hard. It's kind of hard to put an idea of where we're going to be or what we're going to look like because we haven't put any pads on right now, and we don't get a chance to do that until spring ball here coming up in March. But I'm excited with the way the guys are working and the energy that they're bringing. bring into the building each and every single day. And, you know, with the talent that's right in our backyard, there's no reason why we shouldn't be competing for championships year in and year out as we get them to the building, as we develop those guys to fit our style of play.
Sean, what is your style of leadership? How would you describe that? I mean, this is obviously a wonderful opportunity for you to be a head coach at a major Division I college football program. Sure, you had to sell yourself to the university. And so far, what you've been selling to this fan base and the people in San Diego, it seems to me they've been buying it. And I think everybody, like Tony said, is really excited. How would you describe how you went about this process?
Yeah, you know, being very detail-oriented, having processes and systems in place when you're running an organization as large as a football team is with 120 guys and, you know, another 100 staff members, I think you got to be very detailed and very clear in how you communicate and what you want to get done, set forth clear standards, clear expectations. But at the end of the day, you know, I think if I had to put a label on myself in any sort of way, I would say that I'm a player's coach, because I don't know what other type of coach there is, right? Like, that we're here as a staff to serve our kids, and it's our job to take them and get them to a place and this organization, you know, that they couldn't get to on their own. I think that's what great coaches do, and that's what we have to do by building up the young men that are in our organization and build trust with them to have strong bonded relationships, right? And then because of that, then the kids will truly care about, you know, what we know and our expertise so that we can help them grow as young men and as players.
Coach Lewis, I want to go back a little bit to the beginning before you took the job with San Diego State. Obviously, San Diego State had tremendous interest in you. But on the flip side of that, you would have to have interest in the school. What was it, aside from the weather and the city itself, what was it about this school that made it attractive to you?
The number one thing, you know, is that you need talent and you need players, and that's your most valuable resource, that you have the talent pool to be able to win at a really, really high level. And obviously the talent and the level of high school football that's being played here in Southern California, I think, is second to none. So that was really, really attractive to me, that I could wake up in my home and leave bright and early and go hit 10 to 12 high schools in a day, see tremendous young men, visit with great coaches, be a resource for them, and then be able to turn around and still be home to help my wife with bed and bath time. So that was really, really important to me, and be there for our kids. And so also, you know, the winning tradition and the history of this program, to me, if you could do it once, you can do it again. And obviously we've won quite a few championships here, going all the way back to Coach Coryell and the Air Coryell days, right? So all that time and the product that was put in the past and what we're going to be able to build in the future by handling the present right now is something I'm really, really excited about.
Sean Lewis is with us. And, of course, Sean, I knew you were in Colorado last year. What do you think, or is there a difference in your mind between football played, say, in the Big 12 or the Pac-12, and football played in the Mountain West? You know, we've been listening to this stuff for years and years and years out here, that, you know what, the Power 5 Conference is a whole nother world out there, et cetera, et cetera. Yet the Aztecs have been right there competing with these guys and winning most of their Pac-12 games, actually, over the last 10 or 15 years. So I'm assuming you don't see a big difference between the two.
No, I mean, I've been very fortunate in my time and being a coach to where, shoot, all the way down to the high school level, Division II, FCS, Group of Five, Power Five, at all the various places that I've been. And when you step in between the white line, the passion and the purpose that the young men play with, there's not a huge difference. And, you know, if you're aligned as a team, you got a great plan, and the kids are bought into that plan, I think that, you know, anyone can beat anyone on any given day. And so, there's not a huge difference when it comes to stepping in between those white lines and putting the ball down and getting after it.
Head football coach Sean Lewis joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And, Sean, one of the things that, you know, it seems to be a difficult landscape to navigate is the NIL, the transfer portal. What about that makes it, it seems like you've had some success in those areas. What is it about those two areas that has seemingly been a difficult landscape for some, but for yourself and others, it's been a little bit easier?
I think it's kind of the mindset that you bring to it. We talk to our kids all the time, before any sort of skill set, it's a mindset, right? So I don't see the landscape of NIL and the recent changes in the portal as as a perceived negative. To me, they're opportunities, right? And it's an opportunity to roll your sleeves up, go do the work that winning requires. And it's a part of the game now that you have to embrace and that you have to educate yourself on. And as fast as everything is changing, I'm very fortunate to have an unbelievable staff with a lot of different experiences from a lot of different places. And we've been able to take their ideas, my own ideas, make them our ideas so that we can be super competitive in that space. And to take that piece of the puzzle along with everything else that San Diego State has to offer and create a, you know, what we think is a remarkable experience for our young men, to help them grow as young people, to get a tremendous degree, and to give them a athletic experience in this competitive arena that's second to none.
Sean Lewis, football coach at San Diego State, making his first stop here on Gwynn and Chris, and we're really excited to have him and have you here in San Diego. Sean, I mean, this San Diego State football program, I mean, it's coming off one bad season in terms of the record. Talk a little bit about where you felt you needed to attack in terms of, you know, skill players, line play, you know, quarterbacks, wide receivers, defense. Where did you feel, looking at this squad from last year, you felt you needed to attack in recruiting, and how do you feel you've done in accomplishing what you set out to do?
Yeah, I think the biggest factors is always going to be for us is how can we build the most complete, big, athletic, fast, and physical, well-disciplined football team that we can, right? So we really prioritize our height, weight, speed measurables that we can verify from different sources. And I thought our staff did a great job going out and acquiring some great length, some great speed, some mid-skill players at the linebacker and tight end position that are able to play sideline to sideline and having a backer that in today's game, you know, that is able to run, you know, through the vertical seam, and having a tight end that can do lots of different multiple things, both run and pass. So I thought we did a great job in those areas. You know, obviously having a quarterback is critically important. You know, when you get on the job and you get rolling, and the guy at Enterprise tells you, "Coach, we need to get some quarterbacks in this thing." You know, if that guy at Enterprise knows that, then I think that tells us kind of what we need to get done. So we were able to you know, fill those holes, we think. And again, we'll get to the field and get to work with how those guys process, and as the bullets start flying, see what we have, you know, across the board. I think there's the job along our trenches is never going to be done. We can never be complacent in that space, right? The game is won up front with those bigs along the O-line and the D-line. And, you know, I never rest easy in that regard, just knowing what a premium those body types are. You know, it doesn't matter what level of the game it is, but we need to continue to develop the guys that are in our building and look for the right talent that can join us here in the future.
Who would have thunk an Enterprise delivering an assist to the San Diego State's football team? Coach, I'm interested to know, with all of the movement that's going to take place in terms of teams that are on the West Coast playing in conferences that are really in the Midwest or back East, when you go into a kid's house in Southern California, what typically are the things that matter most? I know, you know, for a long time it was you wanted to be in these Pac-12 conference. You wanted to be close to home. You wanted to be on the West Coast. But has the kids' mindset kind of changed now, especially with all this movement and teams on the West Coast now really playing and being centered in the Midwest or back East?
Yeah, man, I think the biggest thing, right, that's kind of shifted is that there used to be this big draw to play close to home, but with all the different media outlets that are there, it doesn't matter if you're near or far, the games are being broadcasted, and your family and your friends can watch you play, right? So the biggest thing is what's going to be the fit for that individual family? What do they covet most? And to me, that's where's the best opportunity for them to grow, for them to develop, and for them to get the exposure and the production that they want to ultimately pursue their dreams of playing in the NFL, right? Like, those are the guys that we want to hunt. And those are the guys that we want to be after, that have high dreams, high aspirations, that want to be highly productive and maximize their opportunities. So, you know, we're talking to families about that, how, you know, their skill set, their character makeup is a great fit for our brand of football, and that's going to lead to, you know, great results both on and off the field, but unbelievable production that's undeniable that NFL scouts have to go see, and so that we can continue to do a great job of developing those pros here on the Mesa and helping them achieve their dreams and their goals.
Sean, thanks for the time. We've really enjoyed it. I want to throw one more at you real quick. Just your thought on the state of college football. Tony mentioned the conference realignments, et cetera. Do you like the way the sport is headed right now, or are some things you're concerned with?
I mean, again, it's constantly evolving, right? I think There's some great things that are happening for the players and the opportunities that are out there. I think there's some ways that we can modify it and make it better so that there can be a little bit more stability so that not every single time this portal window opens, you know, it's unrestricted free agency across the board. But again, there should be freedom. There should be flexibility. There should be the availability for choice. But I think if we can do a better job of just, you know, putting a little bit more parameters in place so it's not just open season year round.
Coach Lewis, we super appreciate you coming on and spending some time.
Bring Scraby over here and line him up against me. I'm ready to run through a wall after this interview. I'm ready.
Coach, we appreciate you coming on. I'll see you out on the baseball diamond or the softball diamond, however you want to put it. But this city is extremely excited about you and this program, and we'll be back behind you 100%.
Guys, appreciate it. Go Aztecs.
John Lewis getting it done on the field. Well, that's all he has to do is get it done on the field. He's gotten it done off the field.
That's all anybody's going to care about.
Good catching up and meeting him on the program today for sure. Joe Musgrove was also on the show. If you missed that, 97.3thefansd.com or find it on the Odyssey app. We'll be back with 4 more hours tomorrow. Coming up next, it's the Scraby Chronicles. Will whatever is his daily gripe today make me that mad tomorrow?
My daily gripe today is going to be that Chris doesn't have any faith in Brock Purdy. So there you go.
Fair enough.
What I'm going to be your gripe?
Someone suggested I just do an hour show every day of me and the things that you bother me with. Just me, just one big daily
That's
gripe.
That's entertaining.
Yeah, an hour wouldn't be enough time. All right, Scraby's next. Gwen and Chris. Back at you tomorrow.
We are being joined by San Diego State head football coach Sean Lewis. This is a big get for us. Sean, thank you for coming on today. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. Appreciate the opportunity for jumping on with you guys.
First, before we get into any football stuff, I have to ask you, now that I found out that you're going to be in the softball game that I will be a head coach of, do you hit lefty? Do you hit righty? Where are we at?
I'm a righty, and my strike zone is probably way too big.
That's all right. That's the beauty of softball, is you can have a bigger strike zone and have a ton of success.
If you get Tony as your manager, you're going to have a big leaguer to help you work on your swing. So you'll be.
I need all the help I can get, guys.
Well, Coach, listen, we'll take care of you when we get to that point, but let's talk about this football team and this upcoming year. The city is seemingly a buzz right now since you've arrived. You've already been able to bring some great talent alongside to join this team. Just talk about your expectations for this program moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about it yesterday as a team, and, you know, we've been building this culture. And for me, it's about constant improvement and constant competition, right? We need to do a great job, and the staff has done a tremendous job of building the competitive maturity of our team, the competitive depth of our roster. And right now, the guys have been working really, really hard. It's kind of hard to put an idea of where we're going to be or what we're going to look like because we haven't put any pads on right now, and we don't get a chance to do that until spring ball here coming up in March. But I'm excited with the way the guys are working and the energy that they're bringing to the building each and every single day. And, you know, with the talent that's right in our backyard, there's no reason why we shouldn't be competing for championships year in and year out as we get them to the building, as we develop those guys to fit our style of play.
Sean, what is your style of leadership? How would you describe that? I mean, this is obviously a wonderful opportunity for you to be a head coach at a major Division I college football program. Sure, you had to sell yourself to the university, and so far what you've been selling to this fan base and the people in San Diego, it seems to me they've been buying it, and I think everybody, like Tony said, is really excited. How would you describe how you went about this process?
Yeah, you know, being very detail-oriented, having processes and systems in place when you're running an organization as large as a football team is with 120 guys and, you know, another 100 staff members, I think you got to be very detailed and very clear in how you communicate and what you want to get done, set forth clear standards, clear expectations. But at the end of the day, you know, I think if I had to put a label on myself in any sort of way, I would say that I'm a player's coach. Because I don't know what other type of coach there is, right? Like that we're here as a staff to serve our kids, and it's our job to take them and get them to a place and this organization, you know, that they couldn't get to on their own. I think that's what great coaches do, and that's what we have to do by building up the young men that are in our organization and build trust with them to have strong bonded relationships, right? And then because of that, then the kids will truly care about, you know, what we know and our expertise so that we can help them grow as young men and as players.
Coach Lewis, I want to go back a little bit to the beginning before you took the job with San Diego State. Obviously, San Diego State had tremendous interest in you. But on the flip side of that, you would have to have interest in the school. What was it, aside from the weather and the city itself, what was it about this school that made it attractive to you?
The number one thing, you know, is that you need talent and you need players, and that's your most valuable resource, that you have the talent pool to be able to win at a really, really high level. And obviously the talent and the level of high school football that's being played here in Southern California, I think, is second to none. So that was really, really attractive to me, that I could wake up in my home and leave bright and early and go hit 10 to 12 high schools in a day, see tremendous young men, visit with great coaches, be a resource for them, and then be able to turn around and still be home to help my wife with bed and bath time. So that was really, really important to me, and be there for our kids. And so also, you know, the winning tradition and the history of this program, to me, if you could do it once, you can do it again. And obviously we've won quite a few championships here, going all the way back to Coach Coryell and the Air Coryell days, right? So all that time and the product that was put in the past and what we're going to be able to build in the future by handling the present right now is something I'm really, really excited about.
Sean Lewis is with us. And, of course, Sean, I knew you were in Colorado last year. What is your, what do you think, or is there a difference in your mind between football played, say, in the Big 12 or the Pac-12, and football played in the Mountain West? You know, we've been listening to this stuff for years and years and years out here, that, you know what, the Power 5 Conference is a whole nother world out there, et cetera, et cetera. Yet the Aztecs have been right there competing with these guys and winning most of their Pac-12 games, actually, over the last 10 or 15 years. So I'm assuming you don't see a big difference between the two.
No, I mean, I've been very fortunate in my time and being a coach to where, shoot, all the way down to the high school level, Division II, FCS, Group of Five, Power Five, at all the various places that I've been. And when you step in between the white line, the passion and the purpose that young men play with, there's not a huge difference. And, you know, if you're aligned as a team, you got a great plan, and the kids are bought into that plan, I think that, you know, anyone can beat anyone on any given day. And so, no, there's not a huge difference when it comes to stepping in between those white lines and putting the ball down and getting after it.
Head football coach Sean Lewis joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And, Sean, one of the things that, you know, it seems to be a difficult landscape to navigate is the NIL, the transfer portal. What about that makes it, it seems like you've had some success in those areas. What is it about those two areas that has seemingly been a difficult landscape for some, but for yourself and others, it's been a little bit easier?
I think it's kind of the mindset that you bring to it. We talk to our kids all the time, before any sort of skill set, it's a mindset, right? So I don't see the landscape of NIL and the recent changes in the portal as a perceived negative. To me, they're opportunities. Right. And it's an opportunity to roll your sleeves up, go do the work that winning requires. And it's a part of the game now that you have to embrace and that you have to educate yourself on. And as fast as everything is changing, I'm very fortunate to have an unbelievable staff with a lot of different experiences from a lot of different places. And we've been able to take their ideas, my own ideas, make them our ideas so that we can be super competitive in that space. And to take that piece of the puzzle along with everything else that San Diego State has to offer and create a, you know, what we think is a remarkable experience for our young men, to help them grow as young people, to get a tremendous degree, and to give them a athletic experience in this competitive arena that's second to none.
Sean Lewis, football coach at San Diego State, making his first stop here on Gwen and Chris, and we're really excited to have him and have you here in San Diego. Sean, I mean, this San Diego State football program, I mean, it's coming off one bad season in terms of the record. Talk a little bit about where you felt you needed to attack in terms of, you know, skill players, line play, you know, quarterbacks, wide receivers, defense. Where did you feel, looking at this squad from last year, you felt you needed to attack in recruiting, and how do you feel you've done in accomplishing what you set out to do?
Yeah, I think the biggest factors is always going to be for us is how can we build the most complete, big, athletic, fast, and physical well-disciplined football team that we can, right? So we really prioritize our height, weight, speed measurables that we can verify from different sources. And I thought our staff did a great job going out and acquiring some great length, some great speed, some mid-skill players at the linebacker and tight end position that are able to play sideline to sideline, and having a backer that in today's game, you know, that is able to run, you know, through the vertical seam, and having a tight end that can do lots of different multiple things, both run and pass. So I thought we did a great job in those areas. You know, obviously having a quarterback is critically important. You know, when you get on the job and you get rolling, and the guy at Enterprise tells you, "Coach, we need to get some quarterbacks in this thing." You know, if that guy at Enterprise knows that, then I think that tells us kind of what we need to get done. We were able to, you know, fill those holes, we think. And again, we'll get to the field and get to work with how those guys process. And as the bullets start flying, see what we have, you know, across the board. I think there's the job along our trenches is never going to be done. We can never be complacent in that space, right? The game is won up front with those bigs along the O-line and the D-line. And, you know, I never rest easy in that regard, just knowing what a premium those body types are. You know, it doesn't matter what level of the game it is. But we need to continue to develop the guys that are in our building and look for the right talent that can join us here in the future.
Who would have thunk an Enterprise delivering an assist to the San Diego State's football team? Coach, I'm interested to know, with all of the movement that's going to take place in terms of teams that are on the West Coast playing in conferences that are really in the Midwest or back East, when you go into a kid's house in Southern California, what typically are the things that matter most? I know, you know, for a long time it was you wanted to be in these Pac-12 conference. You wanted to be close to home. You wanted to be on the West Coast. But has the kids' mindset kind of changed now, especially with all this movement and teams on the West Coast now really playing and being centered in the Midwest or back East?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, right, that's kind of shifted is that there used to be this big draw to play close to home, but with all the different media outlets that are there, it doesn't matter if you're near or far, the games are being broadcasted, and your family and your friends can watch you play, right? So the biggest thing is what's going to be the fit for that individual family? What do they covet most? And to me, that's where's the best opportunity for them to grow, for them to develop, and for them to get the exposure and the production that they want to ultimately pursue their dreams of playing in the NFL, right? Like, those are the guys that we want to hunt. Those are the guys that we want to be after, that have high dreams, high aspirations, that want to be highly productive and maximize their opportunities. So, you know, we're talking to families about that, how, you know, their skill set, their character makeup is a great fit for our brand of football, and that's going to lead to, you know, great results both on and off the field, but unbelievable production that's undeniable that NFL scouts have to go see, and so that we can continue to do a great job of developing those pros here on the Mesa and helping them achieve their dreams and their goals.
Sean, thanks for the time. We've really enjoyed it. I want to throw one more at you real quick. Just your thought on the state of college football. Tony mentioned the conference realignments, et cetera. Do you like the way the sport is headed right now, or are some things you're concerned with?
I mean, again, it's constantly evolving, right? I think there's some great things that are happening for the players and the opportunities that are out there. I think there's some ways that we can modify it and make it better so that there can be a little bit more stability, so that not every single time this portal window opens, you know, it's unrestricted free agency across the board. But again, there should be freedom. There should be flexibility. There should be the availability for choice. But I think if we can do a better job of just, you know, putting a little bit more parameters in place so it's not just open season year round.
Coach Lewis, we super appreciate you coming on and spending some time.
Bring Scraby over here and line him up against me. I'm ready to run through a wall after this interview. I'm ready.
Coach, we appreciate you coming on. I'll see you out on the baseball diamond or the softball diamond, however you want to put it. But this city is extremely excited about you and this program, and we'll be back behind you 100%.
Guys, appreciate it. Go Aztecs.
Sean Lewis getting it done on the field. Well, that's all he has to do is get it done on the field. He's gotten it done off the field.
That's all anybody's going to care about.
Good catching up and meeting him on the program today for sure. Joe Musgrove was also on the show. If you missed that, 97.3thefansd.com or find it on the Odyssey app. We'll be back with 4 more hours tomorrow. Coming up next, it's the Scraby Chronicles. Will whatever is his daily gripe today make me that mad tomorrow?
My daily gripe today is going to be that Chris doesn't have any faith in Brock Purdy. So there you go.
Fair enough.
What I'm going to be your gripe?
Someone suggested I just do an hour show every day of me and the things that you bother me with. Just me, just one big daily
That's
gripe.
That's entertaining.
Yeah, an hour wouldn't be enough time. All right, Scraby's next. Gwen and Chris, back at you tomorrow.